Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. I would have told you that this is our responsive reading, but I wanted you to open your Bibles and look at it. Let me read and you follow along, beginning at verse 1, and I'll probably just stop at verse 6, but I hope you, if you haven't read an account of the resurrection, that you'll take time to read the entire chapter. Rather short chapter, but just 20 verses. But I've got a long sermon, so I'm going to do 6. Amen. And I'm going to need your prayers and your help, so we're going to, chapter 16 of Mark, beginning at verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they lay him." And I'm just going to stop there for brevity. That's 6 verses of the 16th chapter of Mark. I want to talk about the grave is empty. The grave is empty. This story is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. The words are different and the story is told from different views, but the ending is the same. All of the Gospel writers end their assessment of this story the same way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all in their writings with the astonishing declaration that the grave is empty. And this is the astonishing reality that all of Christianity is built upon. This event provides the substance that causes people to reject or confirm all that Christians believe. The resurrection is the necessary belief for salvation. The resurrection is the confirmation of the Messiahship of Jesus. The resurrection confirms the truth of God and is the proof of salvation from sin and death. The first thing I want to look at is I want you to look at this angel and listen to what the angel said. Will you do that with me? Listen to what he said. Verses 5 and 6, he says, "And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, 'Be not affrighted. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him.'" Now, this young man was an angel in human form. Now, we've all heard about angels, and some have entertained angels unaware. But angels are created beings. They were created by God in eternity past. Angels are messengers of God and ministering spirits. There are 2 estates of angels. There are holy angels and there are unholy angels. A third of the angelic hosts followed Lucifer when God kicked him out of heaven. They followed Lucifer, Satan, rather than following God. These are unholy angels. They are the angels of darkness. The angels in our text appearing as a young man is one of the holy angels. They are ministering spirits. They are messengers of God. This angel at this time was sitting on the right side inside of the grave, clothed in a long white garment. Now, there are times when we all need an angel. We need an angel to minister to us, to bring to us a message from God. This was such a time for Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. It was after the Sabbath, Saturday, had passed, very early in the morning, as the sun was rising on the first day of the week. This would be Sunday. And I wished I had time. I would tell you how laziness and how some people like to sleep all day long. But you can miss a whole lot by not being a morning person, by not getting up early in the morning. Yesterday for these women was a day they could never forget. For it was the day they witnessed the crucifixion of their Lord. One who meant so much to them, one who had done so much for them, one whom they loved with their whole heart, crucified for no wrong. Everything he did was right, and he had done no wrong. They heard him pray for those who were crucifying him. They marveled at his crucifixion, at his compassion for a thief being crucified with him. They heard him cry out to his Father, and they watched him die in agony. Their hearts were broken. And on yesterday, they were emptied of all of their hopes, dreams, and the companionship with their Lord, their master and friend, and their whole being was filled with grief. As that Friday hastened toward the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus pleaded with Pilate for his body. A Roman guard, to give assurance that he was dead, pierced him in the side with a spear. Blood and water came streaming down out of his body. The flow of blood and water from his bruised body announced that Jesus of Nazareth indeed was dead. No need to break his legs to hasten death. He's already dead. He was taken down from the cross and buried in Joseph's new tomb. Because of the Sabbath, burial preparations were not completed, and this group of women were now coming to the grave to complete the preparation of his body. They bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. No doubt their minds still agonized and their hearts were broken with sorrow as they made their way to the grave. They pondered and they worried how they would move the large stone that covered the mouth of the grave. You see, they were troubled over physical obstacles, troubled with mental anxieties, and they were troubled over the brutal death and the departure of their friend, their Lord. Grief and sadness covered their souls. They indeed needed an angel to give them a message that would give them hope, a message to give them joy, a message of expectant anticipation. It was at the rising of the sun. As they neared the tomb, they saw the stone was rolled away. Puzzled, they quickened their steps to the tomb, and as they entered the tomb, they saw an angel sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. The text says, and they were afraid. Their fear soon turned into amazement when the angel said to them, "Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Come on in here and look at the place where they laid him." This was good news that the angels had to make. This was the message from God that he sent angels to tell the Marys that he's not here. The grave is empty. The women looked where they laid him. He was not there. And I need you to know that he was not there, not because his friends had stolen his body. He was not there because he had feigned or faked his death. Truly, he died. And the angel gives us the reason that he's not there. He says he is risen. And I want you to know it was a resurrection, not a restoration. You see, a restoration is temporary. The restored must die again. Lazarus was restored, but Lazarus had to die again. But this was a resurrection. Jesus died once and for all. Jesus dies no more. He ever liveth. He ever liveth. The angel had spoken. He is risen. Three words. Three words. Words that altered the whole of human history. Words that changed the face of the whole world. Words that bought the beginning of a new covenant between God and man. Words that introduced a new family upon the face of the earth, the church. Words of entrance into this family, the family of God. The world that was in darkness then now had light. Where there was utter hopelessness, there was now hope. Where faith was buried, faith was now alive. This was the message of the angel. Well, secondly, look, the empty grave confirms the claims of Jesus as the Messiah. The crucifixion on the cross no doubt broke and shattered the hopes of the disciples, but it could not kill their love for their friend Jesus. For some 3 years, they had shared so much. They had learned so much from being with him, listening to him, and watching him. But they could not help from loving Jesus. In spite of the disappointment of their hopes and dreams, surely that awful death of the cross at last ended his claims of messiahship. Friday and Saturday, the disciples were in bewilderment, lamenting their lost leader and discredited cause. But it was in this simple announcement, he is risen, that outlooks were completely changed. Tomorrow looked brighter. Joy and gladness skipped across the strings of their hearts. Not only did Jesus get up from the grave, but hope that had been buried arose. Also, faith that had been buried in that same grave got up with a vibrant, confident claim of whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Those Jewish religious leaders who had tried to make him be of the devil with their claims and with whose envy he was delivered to Pilate to be nailed to that tree, a curse for all to see. But now God, through the resurrection, proclaimed him to be all he claimed to be, the Savior of the world, the Christ, the anointed of God, the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. And the Apostle Paul says he is declared to be the Son of God by resurrection from the dead. And as though Paul were putting the last nail in this coffin of unbelief, Paul writes again in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Well, what are you talking about? Judas the traitor had hung himself, and Luke records that he had gone to his own place. But the religious leaders of the day, along with Pilate, Herod, and the devil and his imps, no doubt on that Friday evening, all day Saturday and Saturday night, stood around patting themselves on the back, rejoicing that they had seemingly found success getting rid of this imposter, this blasphemer, this troublemaker, this miracle worker whom they envied so much when Jesus hung to death on the tree. But on the morning of the first day of the week, I tell you, the rejoicing, it silenced. For the disciples knew the conspiracy had failed. For the word of God tells us all, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee is going to bow of things in earth, things in heaven, and things under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I tell you, the resurrection was God's testimony to Jesus. Despised and rejected of men, he was accepted, honored, and exalted by God. Now they came to know Jesus for who he really was. their faith was revived. And Peter says they were begotten again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The grave being empty means something. I've gave you a summary of the history, but let me tell you what it means to us today. The grave being empty meant that Jesus was alive and with his disciples. It is the union with the living Christ that gives proof of our faith. You see, we live the Christian life by living union with a living Lord. Jesus gave this example when he taught of the vine and the branches. You see, the branch can only live by vital union with the vine. So it is with the Christian life. There must be a vital union with Christ. This is not merely how we live the Christian life, but it is the Christian life. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And then Jesus had said in John's gospel, without me, you can do nothing. The empty grave assures us of the living Christ. And the living Christ is the source of Christian power in our Christian life and our service. You want to know why so many people in the church can't do no better? Because they are living void and absent of the power of Christ living in their life. And so if we're going to be a Christian, we've got to have the power of Jesus, of his spirit in us, so that we can serve and that we can live that life. The focus of the Christian life today is not to imitate the life of a man who lived and worked 2,000 years ago around Galilee. No, no, the Christian life is the life we now live because of our union with the living Lord. The resurrected Lord has made new life available by faith to all who believe. So what the resurrection has done is give us not only a Christ without us as an example, but more, we have a Christ within us as a power. It is that Christ within us who is the hope of our glory. Do you have Christ living in you? Or are you a watered down Christian, or do you have the power of Christ living in you? This resurrection gives us a living Christ who is the power for our Christian life and who is our help in Christian service. All right, the work of the early disciples was empowered by the living Lord in them. You see, if Jesus was still dead in the grave, the disciples would not have been emboldened to go forth into a hostile world proclaiming a message of a carpenter from Nazareth who said he was the Son of God and who was delivered into the hands of the Romans by his own people, crucified, a curse hanging on the tree where he died and was buried. No, they would have remained silent if that were the end of the story. But after the Sabbath, Sunday morning, Sunday, the first day of the week, women visiting the tomb to serve their last duty to Jesus were greeted by an angel who announced to them and to the world that the grave is empty. He's not here. He's risen. Come in and look for yourself. The angel had given them a message, but now the angel wants them to take a message. Verse 7, we didn't read, says, go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Well, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I'm almost through now. Many of you that have been sleeping through this, you'll wake up now because I'm coming to a close. But the grave being empty gives us new life by faith in Jesus Christ. New life, new life. Do you have that new life? Do you have that new life? The grave being empty gives us the hope of glory. I don't know what you're hoping for. You might be hoping you're going to win the lottery or that you're going to get something big or something grand, but my hope is in glory. I tell you, that's where I'm placing all of my hope. The grave being empty empowers us through Christ living in us to do the work he has given us to do. We can serve him effectually not to the glory of the Father, because we are in union with him. But now, listen to me real good. Listen real good. Now the cross tells us something else, and a lot of us need to hear this. That is that right will win out. Let me roll it back and say it to us again, because a lot of people will drown thinking that when they are wrong, that right won't win. But I need to tell you that the cross tells us, it tells us that right will win out. If you don't believe me, just consider that Christ was betrayed by one claiming to be his friend. He was betrayed with a kiss for 30 pieces of silver. He was crucified of a conspiracy born of enemy. He was lied on and lied about. Anybody here been lied on and lied about? He was beaten, ridiculed, and mocked. Innocent, but given over to a mob to die. He was spat upon, talked about, and scorned. I tell you, he was nailed to a cross, lifted up between earth and heaven for all to gaze upon, a spectacle of shame and cruelty. Yet Pilate himself said, "I find no fault in him." He was an innocent man, done wrong, but I tell you, right will win over. I tell you, when you are wrong and you become downhearted and discouraged, just come on, go with me and let's go look in for yourself. Look in at the empty grave. Look in and you will find that he who was wrong and died upon that cross has risen. He's alive. Right will be victorious. I tell you, the songwriter Oswald J. Smith wrote in a song entitled "He Rose Triumphantly." These are the words to that song. Our blessed Lord was slain. The Christ who came to reign, and in the grave he lay to wait the coming day. But I need to tell you today, up from the grave he rose. He rose triumphantly in power and majesty. The Savior rose, no more to die. Oh, let us now proclaim the glory of his name and tell all he lives today. I tell you, right's going to win out. Right's going to win out. Just keep on doing what's right. Keep on putting your trust in God, because I tell you, when he got up that morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And that power, when we accept Jesus Christ, lives within us, and we are empowered to where we can live like Christ lived. I don't know about you, but do you know him? Do you know him? I tell you what, he's got power. If you don't know him, you might have heard people talk about him. You might be in the infancy of your faith. I tell you, Moses met him on the backside of the desert in a burning bush, but that wasn't enough. It was just enough for him to give some excuses and go down into Egypt. But I tell you what, he really got to know him when he stood on the banks of the Red Sea, and he had the Egyptian army behind him. He had mountains on either side and a sea in front of him. And he went to God and said, "Lord, don't you hear the people mumbling? Why did you bring us here?" And God said, "Listen, Moses, don't pay them folk no attention. I tell you, right's going to win. Don't worry about Pharaoh. What's that you got in your hand?" He said, "What is?" He said, "I got a stick in my hand." He said, "Stretch it out, Moses." I tell you what, with that stick, God opened up the Red Sea. That's power. God got power. When they got thirsty out in the desert, God said, "Moses, you see that rock over there? Go over there and tap on that rock." Moses went and tapped on the rock, and water came gushing out of the rock. I tell you, that's power when you can squeeze water to feed millions out of a rock. They got hungry out there in that desert, and I tell you what, they mumbled
again. They wanted to go back down into Egypt. They wanted some leeks and some beets and some garlic. They wanted to go back into the world. I tell you what, when you've been done wrong, when people are doing dirty to you, don't go back and fight them the way the world fights, but stay right with God. And God said, I tell you what, Moses, tell them to go out and just look on top of the ground, and I'm going to feed them manna from heaven. I'm going to give them angel food. I tell you, that's power. God rained down manna for his children for 40 years. That's power. I tell you, they went to the Jordan and God opened it up. That's power. God had a march. He said, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to march around once a day. Go back to your camp and sit down and enjoy the evening. I want you to do that for 6 days. But on the seventh day, I don't want you to do anything. Just march around. But this time, I want you to march around 7 times. And then I want you to shout praises to God. And when you shout, I'm going to do a miracle. And they shouted, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They came tumbling down. Anybody know that our God is a powerful God? You've got that power living in you. If you'll just walk with him and do what's right. Do you know him? Do you know him? Oh, you don't know him yet. You don't know him yet. Let me take you a little further. He said, Daniel, I want to show you my power. I tell you what, I want you to defy them. They said, don't pray, but I want you to go pray. Get in the window and then point toward Bethlehem, toward Jerusalem. And then when they see you, they're going to come and get you and put you in the lion's den. But I want you to know something, Daniel. I am God. I created the lions. Don't you know I made the lions? I am their master. They do what I tell them to do. So you go on in, and I'm going to let one of them be your pillar, and I'm going to let the others be your guard. They threw old Daniel in the lion's den. Didn't they do it? Anybody here know they did it? They threw him in the lion's den, and all night Daniel slept with the lions. But that morning, Daniel woke up and he stretched and said, Lord, thank you for a good night's rest. When they talking about you, when they doing you wrong, just keep on trusting. Keep on trusting. That's what happened with Jesus. He died on that cross. They took him down and they buried him. And God said, my son, lay there and take your rest a few days. Lay down Friday night. Take your nap all day Saturday. Stay there all night Saturday night and take your ease, because you've done the work that I've given you to do. And then in the morning, I'm going to wake you up early. Somebody ought to say early. Anybody know it's early? Any morning people in here today? Any morning people in here today? Early! Early! Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Isn't he all right? Isn't he all right? Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, you servants of the Lord, bless his name. Lift your hands in the sanctuary and praise him. Praise him and bless his name. Yeah, he's all right. Isn't he all right? Say yeah. Yeah. He's all right. The grave is empty. It's empty. But do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Or have you just heard about him? It's somebody here, and you are not right with God yet. There's somebody here. You know who you are as we prepare to extend the invitation. There is somebody here who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. After all he's done for you, he's given you this free gift that all you've got to do is by faith just believe that he died for you and he rose from the grave. And you can be saved. Right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now. And it will make your life brand new. If you think you've been living all these years, you just don't know what you've been missing. You just don't know. Your life can begin anew. Just think about it. All of your sins forgiven. Your vain life, your vain existence to this moment of acceptance of God's offer of salvation will be turned into a meaningful life. Your dark hope will be brightened. And you'll have the hope of glory. Where you are in bondage now, enslaved by your unbelief, Jesus will set you free. If you're here, if you're here, don't delay. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. Listen. The Lord is trying to speak to you today. He's speaking. He's speaking. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. Come today. And accept God's offer of salvation. It's free. Don't you want a free gift? Don't you want a free gift? Don't you want a free gift? The greatest gift of all. Don't you want it? Don't you want it? Come on, today, right now. Won't you come?
It's more than songs we sing, much more than that emblem of your chains. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery. And the blood it shed won't let my sins remain. Oh yes, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified.